Hey, this is Mike Evans. Listen to every episode of Schlereth and Evans on demand at denverfan.com. Presented by Siltahar Motors. The car buying experience is as easy as call, click, or come in at Siltahar Motors. Get upfront trade value with one call. Research and compare vehicles at sthmotors.com. Or come in and ask for Greg Larson and get $500 off any purchase. Siltahar Motors. Easy to find and conveniently located right off Highway 36 in Wadsworth. Siltahar Motors. Get everything you want out of a dealership.
Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day?
Yes, it is. Oh, all downhill from here, folks. All downhill. Weekend, I can already see it.
You already got it. You've already got it in your sights.
I already got it on the horizon.
Nice.
You know what else I have on the horizon?
What?
I told you so, Island.
Mm.
You know what? After the last couple of days arguing with you, you being a complete Richard 14 to me at the end of the show yesterday, participation ribbons and all that kind of stuff, we're going to do a Tell Me Why I'm Wrong today.
Oh, good.
And let's just say I'm going to be pro-listener.
Are you now?
I am.
Okay. So typical.
I am on your side, listeners.
Yes, I am typical.
An advocate for you.
All right.
So the rules are simple.
Mm-hmm.
Come up with your hot take and finish it off with Mark, tell me why I'm wrong. And if Mark has no choice but to admit you're right, you hear those words that you should all cherish. Texter, fill in the blank name, you are not wrong.
Those beaches will be open for this weekend.
And let me tell you something. There's nothing like being able to assault I Told You So Island and come away with a victory. But if you, it's a challenge, folks. It's a challenge. You got to get by.
It is a challenge. And you cannot go total softy. You've got to be Mike. Mark. You have to be fair.
Oh, please, Mark. Fairness is my middle name.
I know.
Exactly. I will be completely impartial.
Right. It's like your ribbon career.
Okay.
Fair to Midland.
Watch it.
Ooh.
Watch it. Okay? Watch it. This is a thin, very fragile relationship right now. So
I was so thankful Mrs. S wasn't listening.
Oh man, I was hoping.
I'd have been in trouble.
I was hoping you spent last night on the couch. So So hit us up on the RamosLaw.com text line, 303-713-1043. It could be about anything with the Broncos, Avs, Nuggets. I don't know. Anybody care about the Rockies? I guess if you have a hot take on the Rockies, go ahead.
Sure.
Yeah. Why not? We're baseball fans. We like it. So
W.
But not tonight.
But not tonight.
Tonight it didn't happen. Thank you, bud. Free agency will be starting pretty soon. Baseball free agency.
Oh.
So you can still entertain those dreams of Aaron Judge.
There's 29 teams that'll participate in that.
Right. That's right. There will be 29 teams.
Yeah.
I'm dropping a column later on this morning.
Are you now?
Yes. You want a little preview?
I would love a little preview. Have you started writing it yet?
It's done.
Or is it just in your head?
No, I got it done yesterday.
Oh, it's done.
I got it done yesterday.
I wrote a blog.
So, and I'll start. I'll throw a tell me why I'm wrong out here.
Yeah.
Mark, there is no way Nathaniel Hackett should feel safe right now. He is still coaching for his job over these last 9 games. Tell me why I'm wrong.
That's an interesting one. And this is why you're wrong, because part of the issue that this Broncos team has had over the years is a lack of continuity. George Payton comes from an organization that has had great continuity over time in their front office, even with Mike Zimmer, their head coach that they just recently fired, but he had been the head coach over there for, what, 8 years, 8 seasons, something of that nature. So continuity becomes a very important aspect. Now, here's the deal. You went out and hired a quarterback who has not played well at all, and you acquiesced as a front office to say you're going to get to have your, you know, your say. You're going to get to do things the way you've wanted to do them. That is not a Nathaniel Hackett issue. That's a front office issue. And until they reel that back and say, nope, because you've witnessed it, I have showed you it on tape, he misses a ton of throws. He misses a ton of wide open design. He misses a lot of that stuff. So that's on him. Did Nathaniel Hackett have to clean up his procedure? Did he have to clean up his, you know, his getting the plays in on time? Yes, all those things are true. Did he make some poor management decisions when it comes to the game? Absolutely. But it is not his fault that his quarterback, you know, is not playing at the level that you expect him to play.
But it is his fault if he can't get Russell Wilson to do what he wants him to do. Go back to Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers at the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not a secret. They were butting heads. Aaron was having a hard time, a very reluctant time, buying into what Matt LaFleur was selling.
Mm-hmm. Cram it up your cram hole, LaFleur.
But guess what? LaFleur got him to see the benefits, got him to see the light.
Right.
And Aaron Rodgers went on to win a couple of MVPs, and they won a lot of football games.
Right.
The difference is
that organization was never acquiescing to Aaron Rodgers' demands. They didn't say, when Aaron says, I'd really like a first-round wide receiver, you guys have never produced one for me. They didn't say, okay, Aaron, whatever you want. They said, hey, pound sand, we'll pick the players. You just be quarterback. So there's a completely different dynamic where, let's face it, when you acquiesce that way, and today's game is different. There's got to be some give and take, Mike, but when you completely bend over and acquiesce the way they've done, or the perception is that, then guess what? You essentially emasculate your coach. He doesn't have the power that he may need to have. So there's a tricky dynamic and relationship, and that to me is more a front office issue than it is a Nathaniel Hackett issue.
Okay.
That's why he's not coaching for his job.
All right. Well, I'll continue to make my case why he is throughout the course of the morning.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you check out what's going on at DenverFan.com. Always a lot of good content there. The Tell Me Why I'm Wrongs are starting to roll in, including the idea that the Broncos are on the precipice of doing something that Broncos country is not going to be happy about. That's next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Always fun to assault I Told You So Island. Knock Mark from his arrogant perch, but it's tough. You got to get through Riptide Beach.
Yeah, yeah.
Bowles' Bluff. The Paxton Lynch River of Tears, literally fed by his tears?
Yes, yes. It's the Lazy River of Tears, by the way.
Lazy River, excuse me.
You can just lounge all day long on the Lazy River. Riptide Beach. Oh, yeah.
So let's get to some of these here.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Mark.
Yes.
Jalen Hurts should be the NFL MVP. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Hey, listen, man. He is making a case for himself without question. Now, here's the issue that you're going to get into. One, an incredibly talented football team. He was the weak link that people thought, man, if he could just, you know, progress, and he has. But where are his touchdown numbers? Where are his touchdown to interception numbers? How many big throws? Because we know this when it comes to the MVP of the league. That quarterback who's got the best touchdown to interception ratio, the guy who's been putting up those kind of points, is usually the guy that gets the lead. So you're fighting. If you're Jalen Hurts, here's why he probably won't win it, because you're fighting two guys, and I don't know what the injury status is of Josh Allen, but you're fighting Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. And Patrick Mahomes' numbers right now are better than the numbers he had when he won the MVP. By the way, there's another guy that's more popular than you, and that's Lamar Jackson. And if the Baltimore Ravens get right and start doing what they did to New Orleans, who's got a great defense on Monday night, if they do that, then you're probably in fifth place right now.
So your MVP in the NFL right now is?
If I had a vote right now, it'd probably be Patrick Mahomes.
I'm here.
I mean, because it is.
Remember all the talk when Tyreek Hill got traded? Yeah. Oh, he lost his weapon. He lost the cheetah.
Yeah.
Not going to be the same guy anymore.
And there's another.
I'm here.
And there's another. By the way, there's another reason. Remember, he lost the cheetah. They lost the, you know, they it's not going to be the same. They're not going to be able to replace it. They don't run the ball still.
No.
And he goes up in Tennessee and still puts up 450 yards. I mean, I'm telling
here.
You, it's ridiculous.
Yes, we know.
It is, but
the boogeyman.
You just think about how the national.
Yes, Patrick. We know.
Right.
You haunt our nightmares.
Right. Just think about the national narrative. As good as Philly's been, and they've been good. Like Tua's getting more hype than Jalen Hurts.
Oh, that's right. Let's not forget about Tua.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. There's another one to throw in there. Here's another one. Mark, Tim Tebow is a more effective passer than Malik Willis has been so far. Tell me why I'm wrong. It's from Ben.
Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
Listen, Ben.
He's not wrong.
Ben.
He's not wrong.
Ben.
Sorry about that.
Tim Tebow had some big passing games.
Mike. Okay, wait a minute. Sample size is two games.
Well, the guy said right now.
If I put Tim Tebow's two worst games versus Malik Willis's two games, just stop.
Love you too.
Yeah, just stop.
If you're going to put Tim Tebow's first two games up against Malik Willis's first two games, yeah, you can't make that claim.
No. I mean, he went to Kansas City in a win and threw it eight times. When he 2 for 8 in that game, but he did have one big pass, if I remember correctly. I think it was to Eric Decker for a touchdown.
Mark, bronze medal winners don't get video tributes. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Good one. You were right. No, you know what? Tell you why I'm wrong. No, they don't get video tributes, right?
Well, Semyon Varlamov is your basic bronze medal winner, so he got one.
Yeah, you shouldn't get.
But they do. But no. He's saying you shouldn't.
Wait, read it again.
Tell me what, Mark. Bronze medal winners don't get video tributes. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Don't, because they do. I mean, the Avalanche prove it every time an also-ran comes into town. So apparently, you couldn't be more wrong.
By the way, for those who weren't with us late in the show, I mentioned that Nathan MacKinnon won the NHL's second star award for the week. They give out the three stars of the week. Like at the end of every hockey game, they do the three stars of the game. Mm-hmm. And Mark went on a rant. Oh, participation ribbons and all of this and all of that.
Ridiculous.
I tried to push him with the idea. So you're saying that silver medalists, Olympic bronze medalists, they shouldn't be up there on a podium. You said they shouldn't be.
No, I said they
got. Name me the last bronze medal winner you saw on the cover of a Wheaties box.
Right. I'm just saying they're not. Let's not. I mean, I'm fine with the Olympians being, you know, lower on the totem pole or lower on the. Actually, the totem pole, the lower you are, the more prestige it is. Did you know that?
Wow.
The lower on the totem pole, the more prestigious you are when you're being honored on a totem pole. The higher up you are is the least of the.
I would expect a guy from Alaska to know that.
Yeah.
I'm sure there are a lot of totem poles in Alaska.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of totem poles.
Tons of them. Yeah, there are national.
Did you ever end up on a totem pole in Alaska?
Oh, I don't know. So when he says
bronze medal winners don't get video tributes, he's saying they shouldn't get video tributes.
Well, he said they don't get video tributes.
See, folks, and this is why you got to be careful.
He's got a point.
You got to be careful.
And I'm saying
that could have been a winner right there.
The Avalanche give bronze trophy. They give out the bronze trophies all the time.
Mark, we are about to go through another rebuilding process with the Broncos. Tell me why I'm wrong.
Another.
I don't want to hear that. Can I tell you why that guy's wrong?
Yeah.
Because they've never officially.
I was just going to say that.
Yes.
They've never officially gone through. Yeah. they've never officially gone through. They won't admit it. They haven't. They're like, oh, we're close. We're one player away.
Right,
two players away.
Right.
Oh, yeah. We just get on this track. Yeah. Yeah. I would embrace, I would love for them to go, hey, listen, we got to rebuild this thing. Now, you're going to, next year, you assume you're going to get Javonte Williams back and he'll be good. You have to invest. You got to invest in the offensive line. Look what Seattle did. Again, I hate the fact that we keep going back. They've got two rookie tackles. When I did Seattle's game week two, Pete Carroll was like, we drafted these two tackles. I just sat him down and said, you guys are going to have to play. And you're going to have to play well. And here we go. Coach them up. And they've been really good. Yeah. At some point, you just got to go. At some point, you got to just bite it. You're like, here we go. This is what we're going to do.
Well, we've been doing a lot of hindsight 2020 type stuff over the last several years.
Uh-huh.
And clearly what they should have done is they should have realized after they won the Super Bowl in 2015.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, guys, won the Super Bowl, won it in a way that was unique.
Yes. Know that that's not a recipe for long-term stability.
Right. We're going to ask you to just bask in the glow of the Super Bowl for the next 5 years, and we're going to strip this thing down to the studs. But instead, you know, we hung on to Paxton Lynch, tried to make that work, tried to believe
this
that was
really
work.
My fault.
Well, yeah. And you know what? Again, the benefit of hindsight, John had the kind of juice at that point where he could have said that, come on, said that, and people would have been, okay.
Right.
I see the wisdom in it. Would have bought John a lot more goodwill. Heck, he might still be in charge. Seriously.
Yeah.
But
welcome to Bronco Land.
But you're right. And we joked about how they were always like two trains going down. They were trying to go two trains going down parallel tracks at the same time. One was the rebuilding train. One was the, hey, we're still competitive train. You can't do that. Off and rolling. Good stuff coming in on Tell Me Why I'm Wrong. Well, Wednesday, we got the Morning Brew coming up for you next. And we'll hear from Nathaniel Hackett, how to stop Derrick Henry. Easier said than done. That's next.
It's time for your Morning Brew. Grab a cup of Joe and get caught up on everything you need to know. Here's Schlereth and Evans.
A special back in this league. I mean, he has been for a while now. I mean, that stiff arm everybody talks about. I mean, it's real. He times it up perfect. He knows, you know, he's got great vision. He's able to run, break tackles. He's niftier than you would think, too, as big as he is. Derek is special. You really can't stop him. You have to try to contain him as much as you possibly can.
You know, I was thinking about this as I heard one of our promos that was running yesterday, and it was about Chase Edmonds now being here and how do all the running backs, how do they slot? You know, how does the role now play out for Edmonds? How does the role play out for Latavius Murray? How does the role play out for Melvin Gordon? And I'm thinking, boy, talk about an example of the NFL overthinking things. Take a look at a guy like Derrick Henry, the workhorse running back, the guy you don't have to worry about. This is our guy. Do you pine for the days of the workhorse one running back? We all know who the guy is. Here he is. Come get a taste.
Yeah, the other thing that's interesting about those guys, Mike, is a lot of times when you're starting to run, when you run the ball really well, like I'll go back to our days when we were running the ball exceptionally well. You know, we had the bell cow and Terrell Davis, but the thing is that everybody tries to defend you a little bit differently. So you got to put up with a couple of two-yard gains, right? And your coaching staff has to really embrace those two-yard gains. It's a change of philosophy. As long as it's a physical, two-yard, you know, smash-mouth type of play, you know that that's going to have its benefit. And you know that your players are going to figure out exactly what's going on, how they're playing, and then you're going to talk about it on the sideline, and then you're going to make these micro, tiny adjustments in the way you take off, or the angles you take off, or the way you stick to a double team, or whatever it is. And the next thing you know, you're gashing that team, gashing them. But unfortunately, in today's game, most coaches want to just go, oh, two, 3 2-yard gain, screw it, we can't run. Let's throw it every down. Like, that's the way they are. And that's where having a bell cow guy that you can rely on, that you can trust, that's where having that guy is a benefit, because it makes you adhere to what you are. It makes you adhere to that identity. And that's an issue around the league.
Next on the Morning Brew.
I mean, I don't know the whole full landscape of it, but I think definitely in the passing game a little bit, you know, the short intermediate passing game kind of getting me outside the backfield, trying to utilize me in space against linebackers. I think that's like the starting point. And then just from there, just kind of building on that. But whatever my role is, you know, I'm going to accept to my full ability.
All right, now back to reality. The Broncos do have three running backs. That's Chase Edmonds, the newest one, who you like a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, tell me how you use him. Starting this week, how are they going to be used?
Yeah, he's been a guy in second down along, third down along, get him out of the backfield, like been a kind of a scat back guy. I think he's got enough juice to actually, you know, actually run the ball a couple of times as well. But he has kind of been that change of pace back, that third down type of back, that out of the backfield, isolate him on a linebacker type back. So that's kind of how I envision them using him in this offense. You know, you got a third down and six. He's a guy that you may be able to throw a little Texas route underneath and get him the ball and give him a chance to break a tackle or two.
Next on the Morning Brew.
Val is having surgery on his ankle. He's going to miss approximately a month, give or take. Bo Byram has injury, and he's week to week. It's lower body. And Gerard, same thing. He's going to be day to day as well.
You want to know why it's so hard to repeat as a champion? Injuries. And boy, the Az are getting hit with them right now.
Mm-hmm.
Valeri Nichushkin, out a month, ankle. Gabe Landeskog, already on the shelf for at least another couple of months. Looking at a mid-January return, Darren Helm hasn't played for the Avs this season. And as you heard, Bo Byram out week to week, Sammy Gerard day to day. Hey, what does this mean for how and what our expectations should be for the Avs, let's say, between now and the new year?
I think it's the, for me, it's the same. I mean, it's the same as it's always been. Like, they're going to play. They're going to play to the, occasionally to the level of their competition. But again, I'm not, like, this was my expectation from day one. This is the way it was going to be. So I don't think it changes anything, does it?
It's easy now. It's just, look, you take it really, really easy with these guys. You make sure they are completely back to 100% before you put them back in the lineup. You are playing the long game here. And who cares if you don't win the division? Who cares if you're a fourth or fifth seed in the West? Who cares? Because you know darn well that if everybody's healthy and you make that your goal, make sure everybody's good to go for the stretch run and on into the playoffs, there ain't nobody who's going to want to play the Colorado Avalanche come playoff time. You're going to be some team that grinds and works your butt off all season long to get a 2 or 3 seed. And guess what your reward is going to be? To play a now fully healthy Avs team. Thanks for coming to the party.
Right. You know what's been interesting about hockey as opposed to football? And I know it was a short off season, but in football, it's like usually surgery is your first option and we'll rehab the surgery. It's usually not, hey, let's rehab this thing and see if then you're good enough to play. Like, hockey is the opposite. Like, let's rehab it. Oh, it's still not good? Okay, now we'll have. So, which is probably, for the player health, it's probably a better way to go. But, you know,
it's like, why didn't you do this? Just get the surgery over with.
For me, too, that just with the mentality is like, dude, you knew Val had, you know, you knew he had some issues.
You couldn't wait to go under the knife. You loved going under the knife.
Let's get it fixed. So yeah. I want to play.
Next on the Morning Brew. Go, Horned Frogs! College football playoff rankings, 4-team field. Georgia, number 1. Ohio State, number 2. Michigan, number 3. TCU, number 4. Did the committee get it right? We'll have Joel Klatt will join us coming up at 8:10.
So you're telling me if TCU lined up in a neutral site to Alabama, you would take TCU?
No, of course not.
Then how are they?
So if all you're saying then is let's just put the four best teams in, just based on what we know to be the four best teams, mm-hmm. under your kind of neutral field scenarios, then just give me the two top teams from the Big Ten and the two top teams from the SEC. Or give me the top team from the Big Ten and give me the next three teams from the SEC. You want to just do that?
Are they the four best teams?
Probably.
Yeah. I don't know. Where'd Tennessee go, by the way? Where did they drop off to?
Five.
Oh, okay. So they're still within striking distance.
You think an Alabama, let's say if they were in the spot that Tennessee was in last week and they lost the way that Tennessee lost to Georgia, do you think Alabama would drop, especially if that was their first loss, do you think they would drop out of the top four entirely?
I don't. No, they'd find a way to put them at number four.
Right.
Because it's like one thing, hey, if Alabama's in the top four, it sells college football.
I don't think we've seen the last.
No,
of Nick
TCU
Saban's
does
bunch.
Not does not. I mean, it's great for TCU, and if I was, you know, as a guy that supports the smaller programs, because TCU is not a, you know, it's not one of those programs.
Well, congratulations, TCU. You're
yeah, it's
there,
cool.
But unlike those other teams that could lose a game and still find themselves back in the top four, TCU
lose undefeated. One game. If they go undefeated the rest
in.
Of the season,
they're in.
Then they stay in the top four?
They'll be in, yes. One loss, they're done with no hope of getting back, which those other teams can lose a game and still find a pathway to get
how
back.
How many teams, I wonder, I have no idea, but like at what point does Alabama play Georgia this year? So if Alabama, like for instance, I'm just saying,
yeah, like
if
I said,
Alabama played Georgia, it was a tight game and Alabama won, Georgia wouldn't drop out of the top four, but would Alabama, with one loss, usurp TCU?
Alabama does not play Georgia this year.
Okay, well, that doesn't happen then.
Okay.
But you know what I'm saying.
That'll do it for the Morning Brew. We'll bounce all this stuff off Joel Klatt coming up at 8:10. Up next, a major announcement. Seriously, this is no joke. We got a major announcement to make.
Nice.
Major.
Can't
Mark
wait
just
to hear
does
it.
Not look at the rundown. Major announcement coming up. You won't want to miss it. Next.
It's Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Tell me why I'm wrong. Wednesday is we assault I Told You So Island. Try to knock arrogant, sanctimonious Mark Schlereth off his pedestal. Because he only allows one person up on the pedestal. You bet you're either a gold medal winner or you're a loser. To all you would-be Olympians out there training.
Oh, yeah.
Better win it all. Better make sure you don't finish second by 3/1,000ths of a second, or Mark will call you a loser.
What a loser! Second's cute. It's cute. That's a cute way to finish. All those second-place Super Bowl finishers, I'm sure they're out in their locker room celebrating their second-place finish.
We'll get to some more Tell Me Why I'm Wrongs. But first, we have a major announcement to make. Mark has a major announcement to make.
I have a major
Yes, you
make?
Do. Go right ahead. The floor is yours.
Right. Well, you know what? We just got assignments that just popped up here, Mike. So, Fox assignments. And let's see, next week, what's the Broncos schedule next week?
Sunday, November 20th, they host Josh McDaniels, Derek Carr, and the Las Vegas Raiders.
All right, so Sunday, November 20th. That is, let me see, November 20th. Yep. Yours truly has that game.
Nice!
My crew, me, Adam Amin, Christina Pink, will be on the call. Raiders, Broncos,
called it.
You called this before the season
started. As soon as the schedule came out, I said, you're going to get the Vegas game. And I think you will also get the Arizona game later in the season. Because that's a Fox game, too.
Where's that one
And
at?
It's here.
Oh, it's here?
So I think Fox rightly says, hey,
a week. Mark gets to stay home.
Yeah.
Call the game.
Don't have
call the Bronco game. Oh, I'm so happy. I'm happy for you. Yeah! I'm happy for us. I'm happy for the fans.
Right.
We get to do a phrase it pays.
That's right.
Where we take this just completely random, where did that come from, phrase it pays that only the listeners of this program know, and Mark works it into the broadcast.
So last year we had, I think it was Halloween.
Yeah.
Where we had.
Oh, what was it?
No, I dropped, I think, 8 80s music references.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yes. Yes. Yep. Didn't give him time to clear leather. Love that one.
Yeah, didn't.
Old Western.
Old Western. Didn't clear leather. the 80s ones. I had
that one.
I mentioned Life in a Northern Town.
Yeah.
Because it was sunny yesterday and then it snowed this morning.
Right.
So I was like, that Dream Academy, Life in a Northern Town.
Yep, yep, yep.
I was talking about our wide receivers. They're both 6'4", 220. I go, 6'4", full of muscles, from Men at Work.
That's right.
What else did I drop? I dropped them.
I think it was 7 or 8.
I did drop a Psychedelic Furs because Washington got the ball back with a chance to drive down and I think in a one score game win it. And I said, hey, man, you can never win or lose if you don't run the race. That's the line from a Psychedelic Furs song.
It's great when you call a Bronco game because, yeah, despite the fact that you are calling a national broadcast. Mm-hmm. And you have to think about the Denver audience. You have to think about the opposing team audience. You got to think about all that. You still go out of your way just to give a nod to our listeners, which I think is tremendous.
Yeah, that's just for you guys.
So this is great. You're going to have a chance, a full week of prep. Vegas, you're going to get a chance to sit down with Hurricane Josh.
I know it.
And you're going to get a chance to sit down with Russ.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I'm going to have so many homework assignments for you. Oh, my goodness. So many assignments for you. I'm going to come up with a full cheat sheet questions that I want answered.
Another opportunity to sit down with Russ.
Yes. Yes.
Right.
Oh, I can't wait. That's next week. Next week.
It's already next week.
It's already next week. Next week is Raider week. Next week is your week.
Yes. I'm all over it.
Oh, I'm so excited. So excited. So we got to, folks, start thinking about the phrase it pays.
Yeah. We're on this thing. We're in it together, people.
You have to mention during the broadcast that you went 11-1 against the Raiders. You have to. Come on.
Did you see the stat about the Raiders? So from 1960 to 2021, five times in that time span, they lost a game where they were up by 17 or more.
Mm-hmm.
They've done it 3 times this season.
Correct.
Is that unreal? 3 times this season.
Yes. Until you realize who the coach is. And we warned Raider Nation. Okay? All the ways that Seattle fan warned us, we warned Raider fan.
Right. Do your job!
I'm so excited.
It's a beautiful thing. It is a beautiful thing.
Raiders, Broncos.
Yeah.
Mark calling the game.
Yeah.
Mark calling the game. Oh, I
can tell the story of how on a Monday night game, I checked out of the hospital Monday morning after having surgery Sunday night at like 11 o'clock at night. Drove myself down to the stadium, started against the Raiders, where we proceeded to beat them 27-0.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Right. Great Mark Schlereth.
Gosh. Okay.
You know why? Because it was that important.
Not only do I want tell me why I'm wrong, but this is a specific question for a Raider fan listening right now.
Okay.
Raider fan? Mark Schlereth is calling your game next week. How do you feel about that?
They love me. Raider fan loves me.
Okay.
Because they know.
Let's find out.
You know why Raider fan loves me? Because they know they're getting it straight, no chaser.
We're fixing to find out.
Yeah. Right on, Coop. Yeah, we are.
So, next week, Raiders, Broncos, in Power Field at Mile High, 2:05 on Fox, Mark Schlereth in the booth. And all those conversations leading up to the game with Russ and Nathaniel Hackett, George Payton. Ah, can't wait.
Let's rock.
Can't wait. Coming up, Four Down Territory, we'll hear from Nathaniel Hackett. Did he give a strong hint about what he would like to see more of from Russell Wilson this week? That's next.
Hey, it's Mike Evans. Siltahar Motors understands sometimes bad things happen to good people. That includes bankruptcy. If that is you, you can still purchase a car at Siltahar with zero money down in almost all cases. This is a program they've been doing for 25 years. The dealership itself is almost 60. Family-owned business that is proud of their reputation and proud to be a huge part of the Broomfield community. If you file bankruptcy, Siltahar Motors can help. Zero down and no payments for 45 days in almost all cases. Contact Team Zero Down at 720-446-9222 or online at sthmotors.com.